Hi, I'm Elizabeth Dewey. I'm a professor of economics, and I'm at the University of Toronto up north in Canada, and I do a lot of work on special education and special education finance. Special education is funded very differently than general education. There's basically two main approaches that states can take. One we call census-based funding, which is basically like, let's count the number of all students you have, and your funding is based on the total enrollment, regardless of disability status. And it assumes that like kids are distributed relatively equally across the state and that they can just sort of give you a lump sum amount based on the total population. And that severs the link between funding and any kind of incentives in the formula. So second approach is counting the number of identified students. So this is lots of variation in how this is done. Some states literally just count up how many kids have an IEP. Some states differentiate by disability type and give different amounts of money based on disability type or service or grade level. And some actually have enrollment caps where they count everybody up that has an IEP, but say you can't have any more than X percent. And that usually ranges between 11 and 15%. So in terms of additional costs that schools and districts face when educating special education students, we call this like the excess cost. And the idea is that these students might have more needs, they have more costs, so we're going to actually have to fund them a little bit higher. When the IDEA was enacted, they made the assumption that each special education student would cost twice as much. And those costs are stuff like school psychologists, extra assistants, special transportation, all sorts of different costs that they think are sort of going to be bundled in. So states fund special education in a variety of ways, as we talked about, and they're trying to fund this excess cost, but every state does things a little bit differently, and there's a huge range. IDEA thought that it would cost about twice as much to educate a student with disabilities. But then different states have totally different ideas on how to do this. So Missouri says it actually is going to cost 75% more, where Arizona actually goes up to 9 times as much for certain disability types. And then there's also different states that have different levels, depending on severity. Other states are trying to pinpoint how much it costs by linking the funding to particular resources. So how many school psychologists, how many additional aides, how much additional equipment, transportation, all of that. And that varies wildly too across states. And then also, if you have a really high cost student that has excessive needs, then a lot of states, I think it's about 35 of them, have an excess fund pot of money that they try to fund everything that's in excess of the normal special education student. So there's a lot of variation. And a lot of things are covered and a lot of things that we don't really know the true cost of special education. And so there's a lot of work looking at, you know, trying to figure out how much is actually being covered versus not. So states, again, decide on special education funding in very different ways. There's sort of two different ways. Most states think about sort of the bottom up where they build the formula to calculate the total aid based on student counts, disability types, severity. And then other states say, well, we have X dollars and we just want to try to allocate these relatively fairly. And so we call that the sort of the top-down approach. Generally, three pieces of information drive the funding to a particular district. One is sort of the total enrollment, the actual special education enrollment, staff positions or expenditures. We call that the basis, like what the funding is based on. Second, we refer to this as a mechanism where, like, how much money do they get for each of these basis counts? And then thirdly, and most critically, is like how much per student or resource are you actually getting paid for? So there's a lot of different ways. They're not based on very much actual research. The one thing that's often overlooked is sort of the base funding formula. So we're always talking about twice as much for a student as a regular education student, but the base of a regular education student varies significantly across states and within states. So a weight of, you know, twice as much in this particular town might be very different than twice as much at a particular town 100 miles away. One big concern policymakers and legislators have is this idea that funding has incentives. I'm an economist. I love incentives. And these incentives cause districts to fund more or less. Usually we're worried about more special education students. And there is work that shows that on the margin, some different funding formulas, including census-based funding, which is basically about the particular, you know, we get X dollars for every general education student, I actually have a paper that we found that that actually disincentivizes districts to identify that marginal kid. So we're not saying that they're going to be identifying like a kid with severe needs, but we're talking about the kids on the margin, the ones that have more of the subjective disability categories that one psychologist might say yes, one might say no. And so the funding formulas and incentives sort of work around that margin. I've found that the census funding has a problem in terms of disincentivizing. There's work that shows that supplemental revenue can be associated with additional identification. But the problem is we actually don't know what the true rate of disability is and what is the best way, like what margin we should be on. So when we say more or less, we actually don't have a good sense of like, is this good or bad, right? We just sort of see the change on that margin. One thing we do know is that there's these caps, these enrollment caps, and those have a very strong negative effect on equity. Basically, they penalize districts that so economically disadvantaged, minoritized students. And so there's really no evidence that capping the rate actually has any benefit in terms of just about anything. So we do know that. And we know that overall funding levels seem to make a big difference. So just overall amount per student, because I talked about the fact that there's weights on this per student amount. So we do have a lot of research coming out now. So we also know that total amount of resources makes a difference in terms of funding special education students. And it seems that it's really like underfunded districts underfund special education, and overfunded districts might overspend, or they might be getting closer to the optimal. So again, the important point to note is we actually don't have any sense at the moment of where that margin is, where the optimal amount of funding and which students should be receiving students and which services and which students should not. So there are significant gaps, substantial pretty much across the country in terms of what the federal and state level pay for special education services. IDEA, the federal amount of money, covers about 13% of the additional access costs. And states vary tremendously from one state to another. Wyoming covers essentially all the extra costs. Arkansas only covers the very high need students. California is about 30%. Vermont, I think, is more like 60%. So there's a lot of variation. And these funding mechanisms create gaps that have to be filled because the legislation is such that every student, if they're eligible, they need to receive these services. So a district can't say, oh, oops, we don't have any money. We can't identify you. They actually do have to identify the student and provide the appropriate services. And so we get these very wildly different gaps across the country and across districts. And how they fill them is with local revenue. And that basically can go in a variety of ways. Districts can raise more money locally and provide additional funding throughout. There's work that shows that districts have to encroach on their general education funds. So they don't have enough for special education. So they just basically have to take some from the general education budget to pay for these students. And then there's lower wealth districts that don't actually have the capacity to raise additional local dollars. So there's this huge gap. And, you know, schools are doing the best they can, but the system is systematically set up to not fund the entire amount. And it's also set up that there's not enough variation based on actual costs versus what you're getting. So there's an assumption that like all students with this particular disability type, you know, need X dollars. But in fact, you know, all of us know that there's a high variation between actual need, even if you have the same label. And so very little of that is taken into account in these funding formulas. So this can create like very large disparities just based on student need and variations over time.